Mark. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go, the demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned to the region of Tyre, and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private away from the crowd and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the gospel of the Lord. To Kill a Mockingbird was one of the most widely read books of the last half century. I know many of you have read it and or seen the movie, right? For more than 50 years, that central character, Atticus Finch, has been held in high esteem as a man of rare courage, great moral integrity, and most of all, as a man untainted by the systemic racism of his community. And then, as many of you know, this summer, Harper Lee, the author of that book, published another one entitled Go Set a Watchman. And it is a different book, which she wrote before she wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, and yet it is set at a time 20 years later. And she has the same characters, but they're different than they were. In particular, the sainted Atticus is different. He is no longer so perfect and so pure. This later Atticus is still an educated and somewhat enlightened man for his time and place. But he is also much more clearly a bigot and a racist who participates in organizations designed to keep black people in their place. The reaction of many fans of the book or the movie To Kill a Mockingbird, the reaction to this new Atticus has been a combination of dismay and disbelief. This is not the man they had come to know, this character who sat on the porch unarmed, facing down the Klan to defend Jim Robinson, nor is this the man who so ably defended him in court. We do not recognize this new, old Atticus Finch. And I dare say, if we read this morning's passage from Mark's Gospel, we might have that same reaction to the Jesus that we see depicted there. We do not recognize this careless bigot as the same man who eats with tax collectors and sinners, who healed the Roman centurion's daughter, who consistently reaches out to the despised, the ignored, and the left behind. Who is this, we might wonder? Who is this man who not only rejects the woman's plea for healing, but who crudely insults her in the process? This is a Jesus we do not know. Now, down through the years, many, many biblical scholars and preachers have tried to find a way to explain away that discomfort that we feel when we're confronted by this different and somewhat unlikable Jesus. Now, I'm not going to recite all of the various explanations and rationalizations and the ways that people have tried to explain away this repugnant behavior of Jesus. I'm just going to say that if you have read those kinds of explanations or do so in the future, remember this. It's a bunch of hogwash. Oh, I understand why people seek such explanations. Those who love the character of Atticus Finch resist the portrayal of him as a racist. And those who love Jesus resist the notion that he ever could have been less than the perfect person we believe him to be. But the plain meaning of the text is clear. It shows us a Jesus who has genuinely changed his mind and had it changed by this encounter with this Gentile woman. We see Jesus, as the story opens, coming into this debate with an attitude of Jews first. We see him as being, like most Galileans, which he was, somewhat contemptuous of a person from Tyre. Now, that was an ancient dislike based on ethnicity and based on race and racial conflict. According to the ancient Jewish historian Josephus, Tyre and Israel were longtime bitter enemies. Jesus may even think himself being generous in just mentioning the possibility that the Phoenicians would be fed at all. And so what the woman does here is fascinating. Instead of bristling at the insult, she turns it in her favor. She picks up on Jesus' reference to children, and she paints a different picture, one that anybody who has dogs as household pets would instantly recognize. She says, true enough, but the dogs don't have to wait to eat until later. They just sit under the table and pick up what the children spill. And after Jesus hears that, Jesus changes his mind about her request, and he heals her daughter. And I think also that it is here that Jesus changes his mind about the very nature of his mission, about the relationship of Jews and Gentiles in the kingdom of God. Just think about it for a minute. In Mark's story about Jesus, this is the first recorded encounter with someone who is not Jewish, someone who is not a member of Jesus' own race and Jesus' own religion. Now, Jesus grew up in a multicultural context in Galilee, where Greeks and Romans and many others were all around. But you know, back then, just as now, ethnic groups tend to spend most of their time together, especially in matters of religion and politics. So this could very well have been the first time that Jesus has had to articulate his understanding of his mission as the Messiah to someone who did not share his ethnic and cultural background. And he stumbles. He says some things that, well, maybe he should not have said. But the woman made him think. In fact, it appears she made him change his mind, which resulted in his changing his actions. And so I really think that we can say, in a very important sense, that Jesus got converted by his encounter with that bold, truth-telling Syrophoenician woman. Now, today is a very significant day for the Christian Church in the United States. The African Methodist Episcopal Church is the denomination of Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, where that horrific massacre occurred in June. The AME Church, the African Methodist Episcopal denomination, has issued a call to action by every church, temple, mosque, and faith communion to observe this day, September 6, as Confession, Repentance, and Commitment to End Racism Sunday. And our ELCA presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton has invited and in fact encouraged us to reflect and to pray and to discern our complicity in racial injustice and to recommit ourselves to overcoming racism in church and society. We all know that this has been a year of heightened race awareness in this country, from Ferguson and Black Lives Matter to Baltimore to a traffic stop in Texas to those horrific events at Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, and even more recently to those incomprehensible murders of reporters and police officers. It just doesn't seem to stop. And time after time, we've been confronted with an issue that, well, let's be honest, many of us would rather not think about or have to talk about most of the time. But the gospel calls us to do so. God is calling us to do so. Most of the time, many of us prefer to think that we're past all that. We're like Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird. But the events of the last year have held up a mirror to our society, so we can see that as a people, perhaps we are more like Atticus in Go Set a Watchman, more like Jesus before he was converted by the Syrophoenician woman. We're living in such a polarized time when it seems almost impossible to have civil conversation about controversial subjects. But today we are called to be like Christ in his conversation with that Gentile woman. We are called to listen. To listen to those voices who will tell us the truth about themselves, the truth about what it's like to be a person of color in this country. We're called to listen, and to listen deeply and openly. And we are called also to speak. Like that woman who was not afraid to speak on behalf of her daughter, but challenged Jesus to accept that her daughter was worthy of God's attention. We too can speak to unjust practices and structures, challenging them to treat each and every person as a beloved child of God, worthy of fairness and dignity. And we can do this. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be anxious or defensive about it. We can do this because in baptism we have been declared worthy by Jesus, and so we have been freed in Christ to serve our neighbor, to engage in caring and careful conversations, to lower our barriers of resistance and anxiety, and to encounter each other genuinely as children of God. Amen.